views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. So grateful you've joined us here today. You may be joining us live here on 1150 AM KKNW in the Seattle area or on Transformation Talk Radio anywhere around the world. Or you might be listening after the fact on one of the, I don't know how many, it's like something like 90 different places this ends up as a podcast, or on ChristineUpchurch.com in the archives of the radio show. But wherever and whenever you're listening from today, we're so grateful you've joined us. We are going to be talking about how to turbocharge our metabolism, and we're going to be looking at health and well-being in a way that I think will benefit each and every one of you. But before we get into that and who our guest is, I'd like to say hello to Mr. Benny Mathers. Hey, Benny.
Turbocharging your metabolism.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, that's what you were trying to get at, right?
Yeah, I know.
Let's
currently, I'm not turbocharged enough.
I'm at the end of my shift, so I'm like, let's go, let's do this.
Yeah, I had a busy day yesterday that I did some filming of segments for various things.
Ooh.
And it's stressful to film.
It can be being a talent. I know,
no, Christine,
what you're getting at.
It's just, it's really weird. Like, you know, I love teaching in front of people live, and I don't mind large crowds. I love large crowds. But there's something about talking to a camera and being able to see yourself on the camera the whole time. It's just, it's bizarre and in some ways stressful. But this way, we can reach more people. You know, I've just done a few segments.
Well, after a while, you just don't even know it's there. I'm just trying to help you out. I mean, I don't even
Thanks,
look at
but
them.
No.
Well, okay, I guess not then. We'll move on.
Yeah, and do keep tabs on ChristineUpchurch.com and also... please check out my Facebook page, and I'm going to have a new YouTube channel as well soon to post those videos. Anyway, I'm so excited about our guest today because he's talking about health in a way that really makes sense to me, and it's so much of it is in alignment with my perspective on my own personal health, and he's got a lot of science to back it up. I am talking about Pankaj Vij, and he is a doctor of internal medicine. He's helped thousands of patients lose weight, manage their chronic health problems, and improve their physical fitness. And he's been doing this for about 20 years. He's board certified in internal medicine and obesity medicine. And he is the author of this new book called Turbo Metabolism. And he lives in the San Francisco area. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Dr. Pankaj Vij. Hi, Pankaj.
Hi, good morning, Christine. It's such a pleasure to be on your show. You do a wonderful job, and I'm very excited to be having this conversation with you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and it's funny, Pankaj, there's so many people out there who are writing about health, and I have to tell you, I'll open some of those books, and some of the advice makes me cringe, and some of these things are really, really popular, but what you write about and what you're teaching people makes perfect sense to me, and I know that you've got the science to back this up. First of all, why were you inspired to write this book?
Well, as you said, I've been practicing medicine as a traditional doctor for the last 20 years, and like many of my colleagues, I was finding this sense of dissatisfaction in really not being able to make an impact in rushing through appointments, and we're writing a few prescriptions with our hand on the doorknob, and we're running out the door to the next person and just repeating the same process. And oftentimes I would get the feeling that it wasn't very satisfactory for the patients that I was serving, just as, and we can sense it, right? If you have a good time at your appointment and you feel like we accomplished something, the provider, the doctor who's really went into the job because they want to serve and help heal other people and get them to feel better can reflect the same feeling as well. We come out with a bad taste in our mouth when the patient has a bad taste in their mouth, and that is often a result of just being rushed and, it's, you know, you feel like you're just scratching the surface, and that's the feeling that I was getting.
Yeah, and I know once upon a time, doctors had much longer appointments with their patients. They looked at their whole lives as opposed to what the symptoms were and get them on out the door. And, you know, it seems like we have gotten away from, you know, the origins of medicine.
In some senses, we have, just like, you know, many other things have become sort of more mechanized, and sometimes in trying to be more efficient, we, you know, lose the whole value of the thing that we were trying to do. Mm-hmm. And so that realization then led me to think about novel ways in which I can make a little bit of a deeper impact and get a little bit deeper into what I'm trying to communicate. Mm-hmm. And I think writing this book and looking at other channels of communicating was what resulted. And I said, okay, I can't present everything that I want to in a short appointment, but what I can do is give you this information that you can read. Yes, it took me, you know, 2 years of blood, sweat, and tears to put it all together, but here it is. Yeah. And in a few hours, you can really get a much deeper sense of what I'm trying to get you to understand. Mm-hmm. And try it out. And if you feel like it makes a difference, if you feel better, it works for you, then there you have it. And it, as you said, it is backed by science. This is not things that I'm making up. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the science, what I've tried to do is to tie it into, you know, philosophy and sort of some of the age-old wisdoms that many different spiritual traditions have taught us, and that's been my quest in life too, to try to make sense of sort of what I heard from my grandparents and tying it into what I read in my science books, and now, you know, as a practitioner, what I've learned from my patients and in practicing medicine, and see how we can sort of connect the dots and make it all help you make sense of it all, and really pick out the things that can really make a difference and improve the quality and quantity of your life.
Yeah. And one of the things I really loved about your book, and I was surprised by it, was, you know, you've got all this hard data and very prescribed approaches to health, and you talk about chakras. Now, as somebody who is a former research statistician in cancer research, who went into energy healing, I really appreciate the bridging of that science and the higher frequency energy, or what we've, you know, been known to call spirituality.
Yeah, it was really funny, actually, when once I included that chapter, a lot of my friends who were endorsing the book all of a sudden said, this is not completely science anymore. And you know what? I don't think I can put my name on it and stuff.
Wow. But, that's sad.
But really, if you think about it, it is backed by science. And there's so much data to show that things like past traumas and adverse childhood experiences and situations where our safety and security have been threatened, whether it's from abuse or post-traumatic stress disorder or injuries or traumas, result later in life in, you know, changes all the way on a biochemical and a biological level. So there's the connection. There is a connection between, you know, those sort of softer psychological type of touchy-feely things leading to very, very concrete and robust physical changes in the body. I mean, a lot of times I'm dealing with someone who's, you know, 100 pounds overweight, and once you spend the time to talk to them, it turns out invariably that there's some profound, profound, you know, pain that they've been carrying, whether it's from incest or rape or domestic violence or some sort of post-traumatic stress disorder. And until we help them to cope with that and heal those wounds, you know, we're just scratching at the surface by telling them to cut their calories and go and exercise. I mean, everybody hears the, you know, it's like just a repeated mantra of, hey, eat healthy and exercise. And what does that even mean? And if everybody knows that, why aren't people doing it? It's because there's something else that's hurting at a deeper level. And until we address that and heal those wounds, we can't really get change in behavior. Mm-hmm. We have to address the underlying causes.
That seems really wise. And you know, Pankaj, in my former career as an energy healer, I was a subject of scientific research in, you know, along with some others in various universities around the world. And there are researchers who are actually able to measure the light, and there's some that actually connect it to the chakras to look at the health and well-being of the chakras. So I think that, you know, this so-called woo-woo stuff that made certain doctors say, no, I won't endorse your book, we're just catching up to, and they're going to be left in the dust because this is cutting edge connecting the two.
Well, it is. And my title is, you know, I like to think about metabolism uh-huh. as energy. Metabolism uh-huh. is the science of energy flow, right?
Right.
And energy flow is life force.
Yes.
So that's prana. Uh-huh. And that movement of prana or life force or chi, whatever you want to call it in whatever culture you subscribe to or whatever religious tradition or languages or your ethnic background, it is that life force which defines us as living, breathing beings with vitality.
Yes.
And when that life force is gone, right, you could eat the healthiest meal in the world and then get hit by a bus 30 minutes later. And once that life force is gone, that food is no longer being digested and metabolized. All of a sudden, all the life processes come to a standstill, uh-huh. and now it's just decaying right. like garbage.
Yeah.
So that life force is what defines metabolism, and that's the same as prana. And that is what I was referring to when I talk about the chakras.
Yeah. This is fascinating. And when we come back, I would like you to share with our listeners about issues with chronic illness and why these approaches are the best way to handle it. More with Dr. Pankaj Vij here in just a few moments. Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's shalohaproductions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNWN Transformation Talk Radio. We are having a conversation today with Dr. Pankaj Vij. And, you know, when we talk about turbocharging our metabolism, Pankaj, it seems to me that we really need to figure out, like, what is it that we're trying to charge? You talked a little bit before the break about this concept of chi, of the energy of the life force. What else comes into the picture here?
Well, the way I think about turbocharging the metabolism, Christine, is that we want to optimize energy flow, right? We want to make sure that all the fuel that we're putting in the gas tank is making its way and it's burning very, very efficiently in the engine and propelling us forward in the best way possible without any wastage of energy, without any unused fuel that's contributing to pollution and soot or getting deposited in the engine,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you think about that analogy of a really well-tuned machine and automobile, and you think about yourself, you want to fuel the body in such a way with food. Of course, food is not just energy. Food is also information, and
ooh,
I think that's a key
ooh.
Point. So if we're feeding the body with the right energy and information, we have lots of, you know, boundless energy to do all the things that we want to do without feeling tired or foggy-headed or depressed or any of that. And that, to me, would be the definition of turbo metabolism.
Uh-huh.
And you could look at, you know, whoever you want to choose to, an Olympic athlete who is in really good shape where they can, you know, perform amazing things, and we all have our own heroes who we might think of, and that would be my definition of someone that has their energy flow optimized to the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. I really like this concept of food is also information, not just energy. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Food, yeah. We have evolved as living beings on the planet. We have co-evolved with all the other species on the planet, and we get energy and information from the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And other than the air that we breathe, the most profound way in which we interact with the universe is with the food, with whatever we put in our mouths, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're getting energy, and everybody focuses on calories, which is just a measure of energy.
Uh-huh.
And we think about protein and carbs and fat and vitamins and minerals.
Right.
Again, all of that is the macronutrients which get converted to energy. Not so much the vitamins and minerals. So the vitamins and minerals side would be more information, right? So you're not
uh-huh.
getting any calories from your vitamins and minerals or the phytonutrients, the antioxidants that you might be getting from your food can't be counted as energy, but that's the information, that's the wisdom from the outside that's coming in that's saying, hey, let's turn on this signal. You have this genetic, you know, this DNA to produce such and such brain chemical, but this particular information or wisdom that's coming from the outside is going to switch on the production of
mm-hmm.
that particular brain chemical.
Mm-hmm.
And the flip side of that would be that if you're not getting that wisdom, you're not getting that signal or information from the outside, that signal doesn't get turned on, and instead the bad signal gets turned on and you manifest some disease. Right. So the genetic predisposition is like a loaded gun, but the decisions that we make to put things in our mouth can determine whether or not that loaded gun gets its trigger pulled and it manifests itself into something bad or something good happening. So we have control. That's the good news, is that your DNA is not your destiny,
uh-huh.
right? It might be 20%, 80% is based on the information that we're putting in from the outside, the wisdom that we're taking in from the outside,
mm-hmm.
which in large part will be from the food that we eat.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was really fascinated by some statistics that you included in your book. You said about 63% of U.S. food intake is processed grains, 25% is animal food, 12% is plant food, and half of that is processed plant food, like French fries, potato chips, and ketchup. I found that to be shocking.
It is shocking, and what do we eat? We eat food that is familiar. We eat food that's convenient, and we eat food that's palatable, right? Those are the three things we look for. We look for familiar, convenient, and palatable. And if for good or for bad, mostly for bad, right, the processed food industry or the food industry has figured out how to make available and make them very familiar and promote these foods that are hyper-palatable, right? You can't just eat one.
Yeah.
Yes. And they may qualify fully as vegan. So just by saying, hey, I'm vegan or I'm vegetarian doesn't mean that you're eating, you know, you're getting that right energy and information that's going to put you into turbo metabolism. We really need to be hyper aware, you know, of what goes in our mouths, because that's what's going to determine, right? Is this food going to turn on the signal of health or is it turning on the signal of disease? And if we're eating mindlessly, we're eating processed food, we're spending, you know, all this time, very little time preparing our food, and instead giving up that control to somebody else when we pick up food, Chinese food on the way home, or we're eating outside prepared food that's from a fast food restaurant, and so many times we're eating in the car, right? Mindlessly eating food that somebody else prepared with the goal of making it hyper-palatable is not going to be the way to get good energy and information to your body.
Right. So what are the statistics about obesity and overweightness here in the United States? Do you know?
Yeah, it's really astounding. So if you look at overweight, it's more than 2/3 of the population is overweight, right? So that's even become sort of the expected norm, right? If you're not overweight, people look at you like, hey, what's wrong with you? You got cancer or something? Because the norm is that everybody, the majority of people are overweight, and over a third of the population is actually obese. And, you know, when we think about the spending on healthcare, and if we want to really reform healthcare, we need to reform health. And really nobody's talking about that burden of chronic disease, which is really 80% of our healthcare bill, right? It comes to four or five conditions: type 2 diabetes, heart attacks, strokes, cancers, much of which is related, I would say all of which is related to their metabolic diseases. So they're all related to impaired metabolism. They're all connected with obesity and overweight. So really, if we want to get serious about addressing the healthcare crisis, we need to address the epidemic of these chronic diseases, these non-communicable diseases, which is really, you know, the black plague of the 21st century.
Yeah. So I know that there are a lot of people who are huge proponents of the keto diet, you know. Can you share with our listeners what that is and your perspective on it?
Yeah, I just cringe when I even hear that word, because it's so dangerous and people are just jumping on mindlessly. So the ketogenic diet was actually first invented or discovered as a way to treat seizures in children. And this was before we had, you know, all these very effective seizure medicines. And the idea was that by eating a diet that's really high in fat and low in carbohydrates, the brain switches into using ketone bodies for energy. And these kids that had intractable seizures weren't getting seizures because the brain wasn't using glucose as a fuel.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was the beginning of it. But, you know, if you look through human evolution, if you look across the world at the longest lived populations, the places, the parts of the world that have people living the longest, none of them are eating a ketogenic diet. They're all eating a balanced, whole foods, plant-based, or nutrient-dense, plant-rich diet that's primarily complex carbohydrates with lots and lots of leafy greens, some beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds, right? With a sprinkling here and there of some animal foods, but it would be more as a condiment. And again, if you think through our evolution, it would be uncommon, it would be rare for you to be able to capture an animal, you'd be much likely to end up with a potato or, you know, a carrot or something, or some berries from a tree. I mean, think about it. If, without any weapon, without a gun, how likely are you or I to be able to kill an animal? You could put me in an, you know, in a small park with a rabbit, and with my bare hands, I bet you I'll be chasing after a rabbit for a month and I wouldn't be able to catch it.
And lose a lot of weight. You're spending all that energy doing
chasing
that.
After that rabbit. I'll eventually give up and say, okay, let me start digging and see if I can find some roots or something to eat, because I'm getting really hungry.
Uh-huh.
Right? So wherever you look, whether you look in evolution or you look through any of the science, it just doesn't make any sense to do what these people are proposing, which is eating in all these processed meats that are high in fat, thinking that carbohydrates are the enemy. Yes, refined carbs in the form of, you know, white bread or bagels or muffins or obviously sugar, but, you know, anywhere we've refined those carbohydrates, that can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But show me one population in the world that eats a high-fat sort of ketogenic type of diet that has lived long without any disease. I challenge anybody to do that.
So what are the possible shorter-term consequences, instead of looking at just like the whole population, for an individual, if they're eating a ketogenic diet long-term, what are the possible consequences?
Well, one consequence that everybody talks about is that you'll lose weight. Yes, mm-hmm. you will lose weight for sure. And part of that would be because you're taking in less calories. And your insulin levels will stay lower, so you might be a little bit less hungry. You'll be eating less food. That's the good consequences. The bad consequence is that you're not getting the phytonutrients that you're going to get from plants, the disease-fighting, immune-boosting, you know, colorful substances that are in plants, what we call phytonutrients and antioxidants, that actually help it boost your immunity, that help your body to detect and fight cancer, right, that turn on the signals of disease, that information that we're getting, the wisdom that we're getting, having been co-evolved with all these plants for all these years,
mm-hmm.
you're not getting that. And two, you're not getting fiber. If you're not getting undigested right. fiber into the colon,
right.
what do the gut bacteria do? Because that's their food. And if they're not getting any food down there, so they're going to start eating away at the lining of the gut itself.
Oh, wow.
So you thin out that very, very fragile, very, very delicate single-cell barrier that separates the dirty side from the clean side inside your colon. And because those gut bacteria don't have anything to eat, they start eating away at the lining itself.
Uh-huh.
So now you've got a major problem because you've got what we call leaky gut, which is from the breakdown of that gut-blood barrier.
Right.
And things that would normally have been contained in the colon are now able to get into the bloodstream. But before they get into the bloodstream, they encounter the immune system. And you're going to get a hyperimmune response, so that the most strong immune area in the body, the immune tissue, is in the gut. The gut-associated lymphoid tissue will be hyperactive. So now you're activating autoimmune diseases. This may be one of the reasons why we have this epidemic of autoimmune diseases, too, mm-hmm. in the last few decades, as we're eating more processed, more animal foods, and getting away from eating the food that humans have evolved eating for hundreds of thousands of years. We're seeing much more asthma, allergies, rheumatoid arthritis, mm-hmm. lupus,
yeah.
Food allergies that we had never heard of,
yes.
right? Peanut allergy used to be less than 1 in 1,000. Now it's, I think it's 2% of the population. So in every classroom of 50 kids, there's one kid with peanut allergy.
Yeah. This is fascinating. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Tune in to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-6 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I love the fact that Benny has got a turbo metabolism today, and
yeah,
he's
right?
proving it through the music he's choosing
feeling
for the bumpers.
It, yes. Feeling it.
Yes. I'm so grateful to have Dr. Pankaj Vij here today. We're talking about his book, Turbo Metabolism, and it is both an enlightening and frightening, I have to say, Pankaj. Now, okay, we're talking a little bit about chronic illness and the gut. That is an interesting combination of, of topics. So how important is our gut in general to our health?
You know, the gut is this amazing system that nobody talks about. We don't think about it, but it is actually it's much larger. The surface area is more than your skin. If you open up all the surface area of your entire gut, starting from the food pipe, the esophagus, down to the colon, it would be, if you cut it all and laid it open, it's the surface area of 2 tennis courts.
Oh my goodness, that's shocking.
That's huge. So that's more than, all the skin in your body, which means,
yeah.
So then that means this is a much larger area in which we could come in contact with things that might be good for us or bad for us from the environment. And when we talk about food being this profound way in which we interact with the universe, that's why, because we have all this surface area. And also, a lot of people don't know that the immune system in the gut is much more than the immune tissue anywhere else in the body.
Interesting.
And the reason for that, again, is that if that's the main border, right, between the outside and the inside, mm-hmm. that's where the border security should be. So mm-hmm. we have all this military posted on that border to sort of sift out the good from the bad and to make sure that the body takes in what's good for it. And when we would mess with that border at our own risk, and it's a very risky proposition. What's happening with our food right now, and the way that it's changing, with all the chemicals that are used to increase shelf life in processed food, but even if you go to unprocessed food, all the pesticides and chemicals that are sprayed that alter the way that food is going to communicate with us. is a very, very scary thing.
Right. So let's say that because of what we've eaten and because of the toxins we've been exposed to in our gut and we have leaky gut, is there a way to heal it?
There is a way to heal it. And the way to heal it is to put in the right prebiotic combinations, right? Everybody's crazy and gaga about probiotic supplements these days.
Right.
But the truth is that the probiotics, a lot of them don't even have live bacteria. And even if they do, right, those bacteria are only going to stay alive anywhere from a few hours to a couple of days in your body.
Okay.
Unless they have the right food available for them. So you take the prebiotic, but which is the food, and then add that to the probiotic, which is the actual bacteria. So prebiotic plus probiotic equals symbiotic, right? That's what we should be thinking about. So yes, we need the good gut bacteria, and we can restore them. But the main way, the long-term way to permanently restore them and maintain good balance would be to eat a diet that is nutrient-dense, plant-rich, a lot of unprocessed foods, and really minimizing things that would kill those gut bacteria, whether it's antibiotics that you might take in because you had a cold, or pesticides and chemicals that are added to the food if you're eating, you know, if you're eating conventional foods from the Dirty Dozen,
right?
Or antibiotics that might have been given to the chicken that you're eating,
yes,
right?
Right.
So, in fact, 80% of the penicillin that's produced in this country goes into livestock. Not in your prescription. So you might not take a prescription when you have a cold or a sinus infection and you suffer through it, but the chicken that you're eating is giving you plenty of amoxicillin in your body.
Wow.
And so you have to be careful there.
So that has an impact on the gut, which has
An impact on the gut. So you're spending all this money buying this expensive probiotic, but the food that you're eating could be essentially negating any potential benefit that you could get. Mm-hmm. So the key comes back to food. Every time.
Okay, so another thing that is chronic in our country right now is type 2 diabetes. What's going on there?
Yeah, we have an epidemic of type 2 diabetes. When I went to medical school 20 years ago, we learned that type 2 diabetes was the type of diabetes of adults, mostly middle-aged to older adults, and in younger people, certainly in kids or youth. It was always type 1, and that's how we would distinguish it. If somebody had diabetes before the age of 30, it would be thought of as type 1, and you know, people that are middle-aged and beyond would get type 2. Now, 90% of diabetes that we see is type 2, and that's the type of diabetes that is associated with overweight and obesity, and that's the type of diabetes that is associated with impaired metabolism, because type 2 diabetes has to do with insulin resistance, where your body's producing enough insulin, but insulin isn't working properly because something's wrong with the receptor. It would be like you showed up at your apartment with the right key, but you can't get the key into the keyhole because the neighbor's kid plugged it up with bubble gum.
Okay.
So the receptors are blocked because of the food that we're eating or something that we're doing environmentally. And the same things that are causing overweight and obesity are causing that insulin resistance or the blocked keyhole with the bubble gum.
So this is, I want to pause for a second here and ask you, this is really fascinating because I only had heard this recently and I find it really interesting. So it's not just the insulin generating foods that you're putting into your system. So it's not like the cause of it isn't the insulin itself, but rather it relates to the receptors, that gunked up lock, so to speak.
Exactly, Christine. That's a big distinction. So in the majority of type 2 diabetics, at least early on, the problem isn't with insulin production. So if you took a type 2 diabetic who's newly diagnosed and you checked their insulin level in the morning when they're fasting, would it be high or would it be low?
Probably low, right?
It would not be low. It would be high because they're producing enough insulin. See, that's the key. If they were type 1, then it would be low. In type 2, when they were first diagnosed, they're likely to have high insulin. Again, as you said.
Yeah.
They have insulin resistance. So it would be like, okay, there's insulin resistance. The pancreas says, hey, why aren't you listening? I'm going to yell a little bit louder.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, okay.
And it's still not working, so it yells louder and louder and louder. So you have higher and higher and higher levels of insulin. but it's not working because the problem isn't a deficiency of insulin, it's the resistance to it.
Okay, so what's the purpose of insulin connecting with those receptors? How is that beneficial to us?
Yeah, so insulin is essentially the key hormone in metabolism because insulin takes fuel, it takes sugar, and it's the key that opens the door so that that fuel can get into the cells and get utilized, right? So if you when you take in a meal, right, you ate a nice big G-bomb salad for lunch, greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds, and you have a little bit of an increase in sugar level, although hopefully it won't be too much because it was a nice, healthy meal.
Right.
But there will be some increase in glucose level in your bloodstream, and now the insulin should follow. So your pancreas should secrete insulin so that the cells open their doors, right?
Okay.
So that's the keys get in, the key goes in the door opens. Now that glucose is able to go into your brain cells, go into your muscle cells, go into your liver, your kidneys, and everything is working properly so you can think clearly. Your kidneys are flushing urine. Your heart is beating healthy. Your liver is working the way it should. Your muscles have lots of power so you can, you know, climb up to the beautiful mountains near your house, and everything is working good. That's turbo metabolism.
Right.
When the insulin isn't working properly because the keyholes are blocked with bubblegum, do you have insulin resistance? Now you have all this sugar in your bloodstream, so your blood sugar is going up. Instead of staying around 100 all the time like it should, it's going up to 200, 300, right? So it's like your engine is just getting flooded with fuel, but it's not making its way to the place where it propels the car forward.
Okay,
so you've got
what,
a blood sugar of 300, but you're feeling tired and sleepy.
So what happens when you've got all that blood sugar that can't go where it needs to go?
Well, if it can't go where it needs to go, the body's going to try to store it somewhere because you can't. You would be going into a coma if it went above, a reasonable level, say 400. So essentially, it gets stored as fat because the body can't store sugar. So it gets converted into fat and gets stored on your tummy. So you have the nice big beer belly on your butt. But what's more dangerous is it starts getting stored in the liver, what we call fatty liver, which is fast emerging as the number one cause for liver disease.
Oh, wow.
In the United States, it gets stored in the pancreas, and it gets stored inside the lining of the blood vessels itself, which what we call blockages in the heart or atherosclerosis. It gets stored in the circulation to the brain, which is probably a contributor to Alzheimer's dementia because the brain isn't getting energy flow now because the pipes are getting clogged with this unused energy.
Interesting.
Which didn't go where it needed to go.
So you're not saying it's the cholesterol per se that's doing the blockage, causing the heart disease and potentially strokes. You're saying that it relates to the insulin.
Well, it's all connected. High cholesterol is one of the risk factors for cardiovascular disease. If you think about a heart and you take a heart and you could imagine, the picture with 20 arrows shooting into that heart. Certainly cholesterol would be one of them, but hyperinsulinemia or high insulin or type 2 diabetes would be another arrow that's shooting. So it's an equal risk factor, and they kind of go together. So in metabolic syndrome, you're going to have high triglycerides and low levels of good cholesterol. So cholesterol and metabolic syndrome do go hand in hand.
Fascinating. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more. We're going to learn not only about diet, but also what other factors play into a turbo metabolism. Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers, Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Best-selling author, spiritual life, and business coach Joe Nunziata brings his higher energy and no-nonsense style to people who are ready to make powerful changes now. Wake up, step up, power up with a shot of Joe. Join Joe the second and fourth Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern for 30 minutes of high energy, no nonsense, and powerful tools to make powerful changes. Visit joenunz.com. That's joenunz.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
The knowledge book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. Benny, I remember roller skating to that song
Many
years ago when I was in
that
junior
was your
high.
Roller skating days.
But yeah, back in junior high, that was the place to go hang out and, you know, like meet boys and stuff.
Were you pretty good at meeting boys?
But no comment.
I mean roller skating.
No comment. Oh, you know, I'm loving my conversation today with Dr. Pankaj Vij. And Pankaj, before we get any further, I want to make sure you mention your website so people can connect with you.
Oh, it's super easy, Christine. Just my name, drvij.com. It's drvij.com.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you didn't include your first name spelling because for those of you who are looking for his book, probably the easiest way is to Google Turbo Metabolism or look it up on Amazon. But the way you spell his first name is P-A-N-K-A-J and then last name V-I-J. So drvij.com.
Super easy. And this, the whole word D-O-C-T-O-R-V-I-J.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we've talked a lot about food, and I know in your book you discuss other factors. What else is important for us to have a turbo metabolism?
Well, food is super important, and you know, exercise is pretty important. I talk about the importance of resistance exercise. Everybody focuses on, you know, it's cardio, whether they're running on the treadmill or walking outside or getting on the stair stepper or swimming, which are all good. But I think resistance is key, and that's one of the chapters in the book is all about resistance exercise and how activating large muscles is going to help boost metabolism. So that's really, really important. We've already touched upon eliminating toxins, whether they're from, again, food additives, preservatives, pesticides, fertilizers, and try to eat organic, at least in the foods that are in the dirty dozen.
Right.
And we go into more detail on that in the book as well. But I think that the remaining factors are related to more of our emotional resilience and psychological well-being, because I think that's the third leg of the stool that really holds up the other two.
Yes.
And that's where we get into sleep and stress management.
Uh-huh.
And social connections, or if you want to take it a step further, really love, right? Having mm-hmm. love in your life, having social support, having people that you can rely on. And I think those end up being really the key ingredients that will make or break someone's ability to make these lifestyle changes and then adhere to them. So one thing is to get the right information uh-huh. and change your behavior, which is still doable, but where a lot of people have difficulty is in adhering, right? So really in sticking and making these changes, and that relentless adherence to that decision that you made is going to be the key if you're trying to transform your life. Just as it is in anything else, right, Christina? If you're planning, if you're trying to put on this wonderful radio show that you have, right, you have to be disciplined and stick to the things that you know that are important to create something that's going to be of good quality.
Right.
And the same thing holds true for your health.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the social support, it's a little tricky, because when we make dietary changes, that makes others feel uncomfortable sometimes. How do we deal with that?
It can. I think it can. And that's where we need to be careful in sort of not trying to proselytize and convert other people into our way of thinking. But rather finding support with like-minded people that might be interested in doing the same thing. You might have a coworker or a colleague or a friend who is also struggling with the same, you know, health issues, and having that support of a buddy that, you know, waits for you at the gym every day at 5:30 after work, and they're going to give you a call if you don't show up, mm-hmm. is going to make a huge difference. So automating those behaviors. But yeah, if we start trying to convert other people or proselytize or try to, you know, just talk about what we're doing to people that might not be supportive or they're not in the same situation, that's not going to be helpful. And in those situations, we just have to say, hey, I have a health reason why I need to eat this way, or, you know, this is just not my food, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
People do that all the time. People say, hey, in my religion, we don't eat this or that, or, you
sure.
know, in my culture, we don't do this or that. And generally, folks are supportive. And if somebody's, you know, not being supportive, even after you explain it that way, then you wonder if they're trying to sabotage you in some way.
Yeah, yeah. And I think sometimes with food, that particularly within a family, there's this connection to a dynamic that's existed for a long time. So, you know, we can feel like a real outsider when we're trying to eat differently than the rest of the family.
It is, but I would also say that it's a process. And the flip side to that is that when people see how good you look and feel,
mm-hmm,
right? And
right.
then they come and ask you, hey, what are you doing? Oh, my
Your
God,
habits.
You look like, you know, you look like you're 10 years younger than everybody else. And if they come and ask you, then it makes a big difference. And in families, too, people, you know, other family members that might initially be resistant eventually will, on their own, you know, if they're receptive and if they're perceptive, they might often see that, you know, what you're doing actually looks like it's working better.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. It's like I have teenagers, and one of my sons was this staunch, very, very, very determined and kind of, I would say, stubborn, mm-hmm. you know, in his own ideas. And one of his ideas was that, you know, he's this teenage boys want to build big muscles and all look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Uh-huh.
And he was reading somewhere that milk is really important for this and,
right.
and whey protein. And on his own, though, when he turned 16 and a half, he says, hey, I'm done with dairy. I want to switch over to, you know, plant-based milk like you.
Uh-huh.
And
wow.
So, you know, when they decide on their own like that, just from seeing what's going on and learn, that's going to be a much better way, because you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah, and, especially when they're teenagers.
Yeah. And you know, as there's an old Buddhist saying, is something along the lines of knowledge can't be given, it has to be received. So the other person
Ooh,
needs
I like
to be,
that. Yes.
They need to be at a place where they're, you know, wanting to receive it.
Uh-huh. Right. And I'm hoping today that our audience is wanting to receive this, because I think it's very valuable information. And again, your book is filled with wonderful information, and it lays things out very clearly with suggestions. And I know you talk about more things like, you know, water and sleep and all sorts of other things we didn't get a chance to get to today. But again, the book is entitled Turbo Metabolism. It's Dr. Pankaj Vij, P-A-N-K-A-J-V-I-J. And his website is drvij.com, D-O-C-T-O-R-V-I-J. Pankaj, thank you so much for joining us here today. I've loved our conversation.
Christine, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And I want to close with saying that I hope that it's not all doom and gloom that you read. I tried to make it fun and funny and interesting and you know, present information in a way that's readable, that people will enjoy and hopefully, you know, pick up some things that they can start adopting some change in their life.
Yes, and I love the recipes at the end of the book. There are a few I definitely want to try. Thanks, Pankaj.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.